How many times did I need to dump out the puzzle till it falls into perfect order? The answer is, it will never happen, no matter how many times I do it, without intelligent intervention. So we want to talk about creation versus evolution, and some like to present this as religion versus science. But that's not actually the way this breaks out, because both use science. It's not religion versus science. It's actually two different worldviews of how the world got here. And they both look at science, and they both actually have faith in how it happened. And before we can go further, we're going to look at tonight, mainly looking at what the scripture testimony is to this. We need to understand the difference between two kinds of science. There is what we call operational science, which basically uses the scientific method, and that's going to be based on human observation. What I see, taste, touch, hear, etc. Human observation is finite, it's limited, it's fallible, you can make mistakes, and it's capable of falsehood. That's why they keep doing new scientific experiments. That's why sometimes you get kind of nutty science. And so when people say, listen to the science, you know, I get what they're saying, but listen to the science is just like, listen to my observations, or listen to the observations of this group of people. It doesn't necessarily mean it's infallible, because it's just science. But it's valuable. Operational science attempts to discover truth by performing observable, repeatable experiments in a controlled environment to find patterns of recurring behavior in the present physical universe, the scientific method. And we all need to use science. This is the reason that you see the advances in the tools that we have. Tools, another word for technology. You look around and people will often say, well, look at all that science has given to us. And yes, observation, the experimentation using the scientific method has brought a lot of good things to it. It's actually an expression of the creation mandate that God gave to man to manage the earth well for his glory and for man's good. That's operational science. What we're going to talk about, though, with creation versus evolution is origin science. Origin science, which is actually similar to forensic science. In other words, the kind of science you would use if you had a crime scene and you needed to gather the data, the information, the evidence to figure out what happened. This attempts to discover truth by examining reliable eyewitness testimony, if it's available, and circumstantial evidence like artifacts and geological formations, other kinds of bits and pieces of information that would help you reconstruct. And since no human being was there at the beginning of the universe, origin science, we have to look at current evidence and reconstruct what happened. The difference between a biblical worldview and the humanist worldview that looks to evolution to answer the questions is that with a biblical worldview, we actually do have one eyewitness, God. So in terms of forensic evidence, we do have a reliable firsthand witness to what happened because he says, I did it. And you remember that when we are talking about this area or any other area, what does the Bible say about the origin of the earth, the universe, and all the creatures in it? We want to start with our biblical worldview presuppositions. This is the foundation we're building on. The triune God of the Bible is real, in the beginning God, and the Bible is his revelation, and therefore it's true. Now, those are presuppositions. And we've talked some about the validity of those presuppositions. Is there good reason to believe that God exists, that God is real? Is there good reason to believe that the Bible is true? And we've actually tracked through a lot of that. Other worldviews also have presuppositions, and you can test the validity of those as well. But every worldview operates from presuppositions. A humanist worldview operates from the view that God does not exist. and that the Bible is not true, that we have to instead to look to human reason in order to figure it all out, versus looking to anything outside of humanity. Well, we're going to be spending actually several Sundays working not only in creation evolution, but things like the age of the earth. We're going to look at the effect that the biblical flood had on the geological evidence that we see. And hopefully this will begin to equip you, if you're not already so, of how to interact with this in a way that is helpful. Recognize that if you have friends that have been brought up in the humanist worldview and that have been taught that evolution is fact, it is true, that it is equivalent to science, and that your creationism is nothing but religion, just be prepared for somebody not to even have considered the possibility that your worldview is even correct. And don't be put off by that. You want to find bridge to be able to talk to them and help them see that what they're seeing in terms of science actually does match up with a biblical worldview, and we would make the case in a better way than what it's matching with their evolutionary worldview. But we want to start tonight by just looking at what do the scriptures actually say. And so we're going to cover a lot of scripture. We're going to draw some observations from those scriptures that are really important. And I'm going to tell you why they're so important until we get to the point of drawing observations. So let's just start with Genesis 1. Let's start at the very beginning, the very best place to start. Genesis 1, we'll read chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, where we have a narrative telling about how it all began. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give a light upon the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was very good. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given to you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with its seed and its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth and everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Observations. There was a beginning. The universe is not eternal. Number two, God created everything by his word. His voice is so powerful that he actually makes happen whatever he says. Number three, God created day and night, weeks, times, and seasons. To this day, our weeks, our seasons, day and night still function as they did from the beginning. By the way, these aren't the only observations. These are just like the ones that hit me after I'd read the passage. Number four, God created light energy. That was the first thing he did. And light bearers several days later. Number five, God created the earth, plants, and animals for man's good to manage well. Number six, God created each kind of animal to reproduce after its own kind. And you could add to that the trees and plants as well. Did you notice how many times it said after its kind? Number seven, God created male and female human beings in his image. Number eight, God created everything as very good. And number nine, God did it all in 6 days of evening and morning. That is what the text says. Narrative text. So, some will approach that and say, well, you know, that's probably just poetic, or that's probably maybe allegorical, because we know from science that it couldn't have happened that way. It's way too fast. And there are believers, there are Christians that will say, you know, somehow we have to get the science to match up with the truth we know of the Bible. And so we have to make room for evolution. We're going to talk more about that next time. But tonight, we want to ask the question, just how important is creation by God, direct act of God? How important is that to Christianity and to the Bible? In other words, maybe if we just looked at, like, say, Genesis 1 through 11 and kind of said, well, that's kind of a special section, kind of primitive, kind of allegorical, not really exactly what happened. Maybe if we can just take care of that, then we can believe everything else. In other words, don't worry about creation, just get people to Jesus. Let's explore what the scriptures would say about that. So very quickly, we're going to do just a jet trip through the scriptures. Genesis 5, 1 and 2, this is the book of the generations of Adam. By the way, that seems to be a formula that's referring to the records that were kept. Did you know, by the way, and we'll look at this next week, I think, or the next, Adam lived so long that Noah's dad was 56 years old when Adam died. When a man lives that long, think about the eyewitness testimony that's available to you. Anyway, this is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God, male and female. He created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. Genesis 6, 7. There's great wickedness in the earth, so the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. Exodus 20, verse 11, from the Ten Commandments, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, the day of stopping, and made it holy. Psalm 90, verse 2, Psalm of Moses, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Ecclesiastes 12, 1, dealing with life under the sun and the inherent frustration of it. Solomon says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Isaiah 40, verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He can do a billion piece puzzles. Isaiah 42, 5. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath, the spirit to people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. Isaiah 45, 12. I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all their host. Isaiah 45, 18, for thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, he is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. In other words, the very existence of God, God points to creation as the proof of who he is. And in the context, he's actually talking about a man who wasn't even born yet, Cyrus the Persian, who would end up taking over the kingdom of Babylon. And talking about Cyrus actually bringing the people of Israel back after their years of captivity and judgment. And God ties all of that to his role, his position of sovereign authority as the Creator. Mark 10, 6. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. John 1, 3, all things were made through him, referring to Jesus Christ, the Word, and without him was not anything made that was made. Acts 14, 15, as Paul and Barnabas are about to be worshipped by idolaters, worshipped as some kind of gods that had come down from heaven because of miracles they were doing, they say, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. By the way, if you think evolution is a modern idea, you've been listening to modern people. Evolution was the viewpoint of the pagan religions. It's not a new discovery. It's actually a recovery of the old paganism. Romans 1, 24 to 25, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature, the created ones, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Ephesians 3, 9, we're tracking through the Bible, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Colossians 1, 16, referring to Jesus Christ having preeminence, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. In other words, not just the material universe, the spiritual universe, the demons and ranks of angels, not just the things that we can touch that are tangible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Hebrews 11:3, that great chapter on faith, by faith. And by the way, faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is leaning on what you count to be reliable. And I think we used this illustration before. I have faith in this chair for good reason. It is a reasonable faith. There is good evidence to demonstrate that that chair will hold me up, so I will rely on it. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. At least it shouldn't be. That's more like a wish. Faith is relying on what you count reliable, okay? By faith. Because we count God's testimony reliable, along with a host of other evidence, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. In other words, what you see now did not evolve from what once was. It was spoken into being, ex nihilo, out of nothing. 1 Peter 4:19, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will, going through a suffering time, entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. The very fact that God has created me, that God has made me in His image, that God has shown that kind of love for me, gives me a reason to hope in Him and hang on to Him when I'm going through the worst of my trials. 2 Peter 3:5, speaking of the scoffers, for they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water. Remember when God separated the seas from the dry land? And through water, by the Word of God. Revelation 4:11, and you have similar language in chapter 10 and chapter 14. As those in the heavenly city praise God, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. So what are some observations from this sampling of the biblical testimony? First, Genesis provides straightforward narrative testimony that the universe came into being by the direct creative act of God. You know, we look at genres of literature, types of literature. This is not poetry. This is not apocalyptic literature with lots of symbolism. This is narrative with tangible, understandable items to it, like evening and morning. Number two, the law, the prophets, the gospels and acts, the apostolic letters, the epistles, and the apocalypse, the book of Revelation, all concur. In other words, you can't get rid of divine creation just by removing Genesis 1 through 11. You can't do it. Number three, the prophets and the apostles, and Jesus Christ Himself held to creation as foundational. They keep referring to God as the Creator as the reason that they're calling people to do certain things and to worship God or to turn from their sin. If they are wrong, they are at best mistaken and at worst liars. Some people like to say, well, you know, Jesus knew better, but He was just conforming to the primitive times. I'm sorry, I don't need a God like that. And I don't need a Savior like that, who's going to go along with a lie and then tell me He's going to save me from lying. So what we're talking about is the dependability of the Scriptures themselves and the deity of Jesus Himself and the reliability of Jesus Himself. Number four, refusing to acknowledge God as the Creator necessarily produces corruption. This is what Romans 1 talks about, in part because it removes God's right to define morality. The other part is that God gives people up to what they want, the freedom from God. Number five, creation is foundational to the gospel itself. Throughout the scriptures, creation and redemption are inseparably woven together. I mean, think about it. If God's not the creator, then why should he define what's right and wrong? If you don't define what's right and wrong, then how do you define what sin is? If there is no sin, what do you need to be saved from? And where did death come from? If death has nothing to do with sin, and sin can't be defined, then what is the point of the gospel? It's all nonsense that you need to be rescued from sin and that you could ever hope to be rescued from death. It doesn't make any sense at all unless there's a creator, unless there is actually a time where death didn't exist and where sin didn't exist, so that you have hope that it can ever be different. Number six, God's sovereignty, our accountability, God's care, and our hope are all rooted in creation doctrine. And number seven, the certainty of the consummation of the age rises logically from the certainty of God's creation of the universe. Now, these are not the only observations. I mean, you could probably fill a book of observations with the scripture that we've looked at, but I think these are observations that come directly from the scriptures that we've looked at. It's demonstrable that this is woven right into the whole fabric of Revelation. And so that kind of could make us nervous. If we have a fair amount of trust in the science of the age, this kind of paints us in a corner. And some people have said, okay, it's either science and the insights that we have, the computer models, etc., or it's Christianity. And that's actually more honest. Others have tried to put it together. Somehow we got to get this to work together. They've been trying that for actually over a century and a half, ever since Darwin wrote his book, Origin of the Species. So just to release a little pressure valve release for you before we dig into this more, let me just make these statements. I'm not proving them, I'm just making the statements, okay? So this is like posting on social media. There is zero evidence of transitional life forms from one kind to another, because that would require new genetic information, not just mutations. At the time that Darwin wrote, he thought that he would find, and over time, as people gave themselves to this, they would find lots of examples of these transitional forms. You know where they find them. You find them in the Smithsonian, created by artists like me, who made lifelike sculptures to prove the missing links. You don't find them in the ground. You don't find them among the evidence. You find different kinds, but no transitional forms between the kinds. No evidence whatsoever, zero. And it's been 150 years. There is zero evidence of ordered messaging from a non-intelligent source. And you take RNA and DNA, and I'm like already out of my depth, but just what it takes for there to be life and the messaging sequences that have to go together. Extremely complex, way more complex than a 100-piece puzzle. Infinitely less probable than the impossibility that if I spent the rest of my life dumping out that puzzle, it would ever fall into place without intelligent intervention. If we take the biblical record as true regarding not only the creation, but also the genealogies, that gives us some idea of timeline, and the flood that tells us about a catastrophe that really changed the earth's surfaces, And we've seen those kinds of, on smaller scale, those catastrophes over and over. There is no need for an old earth to explain present-day scientific evidence. It's based on uniformitarianism, which means everything is going along just as it always has, and it doesn't factor in the catastrophes where things like Mount St. Helens blowing can change the landscape in a matter of days or minutes. In fact, the biblical account is more plausible when you put these things together than the evolutionary explanations, which defy any number of scientific laws, some of which we've explored just barely, not explored, but touched on tonight. Well, I'll leave you with that and encourage you that with all the fake news and computer models in the world, we have one source of absolute truth. You know, we're going to look at, when we talk about the age of the earth, we're going to look at like starlight and stuff like that. And I've talked to those that say, hey, we know that these things have existed for, you know, all these billions of years because we've created the computer model. After this year, I don't want to hear another word about computer models as proof of anything. And it's not that there's no value to them, okay? It's kind of like budgets. We plan a budget, but there's lots of things that can change, right? It's not that there's no value, but their value is not infallibility. So we'll leave it at that. I don't have a dismount here, so I'm just going to end. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for the clarity of it. I pray that you would help us, because we are just bombarded all the time. I mean, it's almost like nothing that we can take in where you don't hear people refer to evolution, to how long the earth has been here, billions of years, and how we've evolved and all these kinds of things. It's just assumed as fact. Lord, help us not be angry about that, and that this is what people have been taught, and they believe the people, good people that taught it to them. But Lord, help us be able to hold against that kind of peer pressure and intimidation, knowing that what you have told us is true, and that it actually matches the evidence, the forensic evidence that we see.